Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
I'm keyed up right now.
Oh, man.
Don't you just feel like
energized?
Yeah.
Ready to go?
Even
here
though,
we are.
Yeah, we have a... Today's Monday.
It's Monday.
And we are just...
Start of the week.
Yeah, even though yesterday we were supposed to take a day off, didn't take a day off.
No, but here we are. We're raring to go.
Yep.
Monday, first day of the week, and we're starting off hot. We have a really good podcast today, Jeff. Who is on the podcast?
Jessie Reyes. Who just put out her debut album.
Yes, it is called Before Love Came to Kill Us, and it is streaming everywhere. Go check that out. She's amazingly awesome. She sat down with us maybe a couple months ago for a long-form interview.
Yeah, an actual episode of our podcast.
Yes.
A waste of time with It's the Real.
Right.
And now we just checked in on her.
Yeah, up in Toronto. Shout out to everyone up there. Then we have Ebe Hamad,
the president of Dreamville.
Shout out to Ebe, who we also had on the podcast, A Waste of Time with It's the Real.
Yeah, but
that was a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was in January.
You know what? One of our most celebrated episodes of A Waste of Time with It's the Real.
But yeah, but now Ebe is going through quarantine just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
And he is, he misses the NBA.
Yes. He has his young son at home who's 1.5. We talk a lot about Dreamville, everything. Everything you could think of with Dreamville. He is out there in Los Angeles. And then we go out to Brooklyn and we talk to our great friend, Carly Hustle.
Yes. Carly, who is one of the most acerbic, straightforward.
Yes.
You know, like, she's going to give it to you brutally honest, just like the name of her podcast.
Absolutely. Go sign up for that and her Patreon.
And just like, I just love her honesty, you know, good and bad in all of this shit.
Also, she is amazingly funny and has the best heart. Shout out to our friend Carly Hustle. Jeff, let's go up to Toronto and let's get Jessie on the phone. Jessie, what's happening?
Staying alive, man. How are you guys?
We are also staying alive.
Yeah. Killing it.
When is the last time you were outside?
16 days ago.
You're kidding. Like, totally indoors.
Totally indoors.
How has been... This is probably not the time you thought would your release for your debut album would be like, right?
Yeah. Not exactly.
Yeah.
Not to the T how I imagined it.
Yeah.
I saw you were on live and you were talking about the sort of like anxiety of putting it out like during all of this. You know, can you talk about what your thoughts were, you know, going back and forth?
Yeah, well, fuck, because the title is Before Love Came to Kill Us.
Mm-hmm.
And considering what's going on in the world, I felt strange because initially it was supposed to trigger people into thinking about their mortality, not so much as be a theme song to what's going on. And it sounds like a theme song, but it was a difficult thing for me to get perspective on because my whole life I've grown up with mortality right in front of my face, like by default of the way that my dad, like, he lost his mom when he was like 3 months old and then lost his dad when he was a teenager. And my mom forever has been very aware that we could die tomorrow. That's why anytime that someone says plans, she says, yeah, sure, if God allows.
Right.
Are we going to do this? Sure, if God allows. But I know that the majority of the world isn't like that. You know, there's a majority of the world who holds a stigma against that. So I was apprehensive about people receiving that insensitively. And so I put it on Instagram, shout out social media, because I talked to my team thinking I could get guidance. And my team was like, well, we get both sides. So we'll do whatever you want to do. And I was like, great, sick. So I went on Instagram and then it was 3% of people saying that I should wait for it to actually like be able to have legs and like me be able to do promo and me be able to do shows. And then 97% of people were like, absolutely the fuck not. You need to drop this right now.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I loved your New York Times profile today. And I thought the last line that they had in there where you were talking about how you were conflicted, I thought this was so awesome. You said, but I decided I'm putting it out because indecision never did anything for anybody. And I thought that was just like awesome, like as a mantra, but specifically with your album in this time, I think it is necessary for people to have moods, to have an escape, to have something where they can like relate. And that is the music that you do, clearly. I was watching last night, Fat Joe has a regular Instagram live that he does, and you popped up on it, and you were playing, and he was feeling it so hard, and you guys were like, yo, whenever we connect, it's all love, and like, shout out to your family, and shout out to your family, and I was like, yo, I love this friendship right here. How did you guys connect in the first place?
Yo, I can't even tell you what award show it was. Oh, it was the BET Awards. He said, I think that's what he mentioned yesterday, that it was the BET Awards, because we kept running into each other at different things. So much so that I literally can't remember, but I remember correctly. Based off what he said yesterday, I think it was the BET Awards. And he said that he linked with my family. Before he talked to me, he talked to my mom and dad.
That is so dope. Because
my mom and dad were there. Yeah, man. It was cool. And he's dope. His son's dope. His whole team is dope. Obviously, like, if you didn't know if you heard it yesterday, before I got off the phone, I kind of freaked out a bit. And I was like, took it off. I got to give you your flowers.
Yeah, I love that.
Say my thank yous. Yo, because he's done so much, man. And as a Latina, he's done so much. As a hip-hop head, like, as a hip-hop kid, he's done so much. As, like, it's just shouting him out, shouting pun out,
all of that. I thought it was super dope and very authentic, and that's just you. So shout out to you for doing that.
You know, you've been inside now for 16 days. Like,
yep.
How are you passing the time? Like, what are you doing, like, any crafts that you never thought that you'd be doing? Are you doing any, like, are you, like, doing forward rolls onto your bed just to do something?
I got a piano in my room that I really suck at, so I've been taking advantage to suck less and learning new chords.
Are you watching, like, YouTube, like, tutorials?
Yeah, bunch of YouTube tutorials. YouTube can teach you how to fucking fly on a broom like a witch if you really want to. It's crazy.
Yo, you should be focusing on that.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, I know,
who cares about the piano?
That's the next one. I'm going to do one of those little TikToks where the person, like, flies through the room and they're, like, 5 feet in the air. I'm going to do one of those. But it's lit, man. Like, to be honest, and I remember I told you guys this, I'm like, yeah, you guys are cool, but, like, not every interview is sick.
Mm-hmm.
So I was apprehensive about doing promo for this album months in advance because I was like, fuck, this means 7 a.m, 6 a.m, I gotta get up and go have these epically intimate conversations with people I just met. This is gonna be great. And now they're all relegated to phone calls from my bedroom, so I'm not as angry about that.
That's really dope. Where have you, like, found yourself in your place that you're like, I don't normally, like, sit down here, I don't normally, like, work here, but this is my new spot in my place?
Well, I'm sick. It's pretty much my room, like, my bed and my like, little stool in front of my piano. That's my walk to work and my walk back. it's pretty basic. It hasn't really changed. But maybe it's because I'm still very much seeing the silver lining, because when I'm working, I'm around people all the time. So when I have off time, I love this. I like going to my little cave and I'm good. It's Loner City, Kid Cudi forever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm still, I'm not mad at that. Like, I'm not one of the people that's like, let me out of here. I'm good.
When you're on the phone with people, do you sit still or do you pace back and forth? Like, I'm trying to imagine, like, what's happening right now.
Yo, I am definitely as horizontal as possible right now in my bed. Like, I definitely went to bed at, like, 11 a.m., 10:30, 11 a.m. So,
wait, today?
Yeah, today. So this is an interval between naps right now, this call.
You're like a cat.
I know. My sleeping schedule is ass.
Is it always like that right now?
Yeah, I've always been nocturnal. Right now, it's just, like, out of control, reckless, boundaryless, because there's, morning doesn't really exist anymore in this world.
Yo, neither do weekends or weekdays.
Yeah, they just don't exist anymore.
Are you cooking for yourself?
Pardon?
Are you cooking for yourself?
Of course I am. What? Yes, man. Making some wicked steaks, some fried peppers.
Oh, shit.
Oh, some spaghetti, some tuna.
Oh, you're good.
I'm good, man.
Are there any recipes that, like, or any sort of, like, cuisines that you had not previously attempted that now, because time is just, like, an endless sort of vessel?
Yeah.
You know, what are you, like, diving into that's, like, new?
That's new?
Yeah. Like, have you done anything that's just like, oh, you want to know what? Like, let me just fuck around with some ingredients that are just
right,
like,
I'm going to have octopus today.
Yeah.
No, I do. I go to my tried and true's, man. So I'm like literally just like steak with some cayenne pepper and olive oil and like sea salt and chopped up red and green peppers, or like I do this thing with like spaghetti, and then I'll get some tuna and chopped up cilantro and chopped up onions and tomatoes and mix it together. Add a little bit of mayo, heat up the spaghettis, but leave the tuna cold. That shit is fire.
That sounds fire.
Yeah, it's delicious. But I kind of got my tried and true. I haven't really explored into new recipes. I'm not bored of mine yet.
I mean, we're gonna be here for another like 6 years.
I know.
So,
this
you know.
Is, yeah. Taken time to consider what a long summer tour with Billie Eilish was supposed to be, what it was going to be? Have you like accepted like where we're at right now?
Yeah, I have. I've accepted that it might be, this thing might not really, Corona might not really let humanity get back to normal until fall.
Mm-hmm.
I've read that in a few articles. I've seen it in a few like press conferences. I'm sad, but there's not much I can do if I just dwell in the future of shit that didn't happen yet. So I'm just kind of taking it day by day.
Yeah.
Because even though people are saying that, who the fuck knows? Like, you never know. Maybe in a month it like disappears out of nowhere. You know? Do you guys know who Nostradamus is?
Yes. I mean, not personally, but yes.
You never met him? For anybody who don't know, like, that, who doesn't know, that's the guy who does, like, the prophecies and shit, right?
Right, yeah, right.
I saw this, every now and then when, like, a crazy world event happens, I have a tendency to, like, Google him and be like, let's see, like, if there was any correlation.
Yeah, yeah. And?
I remember that one of the things that he said was that this disease was gonna like come and go like wildfire, like it was gonna come and then just go.
So that's this disease, or is that like swine flu or Ebola?
Are speculating that it's this one. Who knows? The guy's obviously like been wrong.
Well,
but I just thought it was interesting, and I was like, maybe Jesse, it'll come.
Do you find yourself in Reddit like deep dives? Are you looking for like information that's not, you know, necessarily public? How do you consume all this stuff yourself?
Yeah, like random articles and YouTube and Reddit. I hate going down those black holes though, because that's hours. Sometimes you get into the matrix, especially now that weekends and mornings are gone and everything's just one color.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dangerous thing to go down a wormhole these days, because you might be committing to hours and not know till you get out. It's fucked.
Yeah. And then you go to sleep at 10 a.m. and then wake up at 1 p.m. for a phone call with us.
Yeah, it's great. No, but in my defense, it's literally been because of like all the album promo that we've been doing too.
Yeah.
And like the energy that was locked up in my body for the last 3 days is insane. Like I pretty much haven't slept for the last 3 days. From the day before the album. What's the date today?
Today's the 29th.
Yeah.
I haven't really slept since the 26th.
Is
26? I was up because the album was dropping at 12. Album dropped at 12. Up all like pretty much all day Friday. Took maybe like a 2-hour nap on Saturday, and then was up all night last night, and then fell asleep at 11. Like it's been a lot of. I don't know. It's like Coca-Cola and a Mentos in a little jar. And the jar is like deezed. So yeah. It hasn't popped. That's what I feel like. I'm like,
I always told you that I do love your metaphors, that you have the best metaphors in the game.
That is true.
In lead up to the album, what was the last thing that you had to approve that like, it was just like, you know, up to the wire?
I think I told you guys this. Not that like, that I rearranged shit.
Mm-hmm.
Last minute,
mm-hmm.
and like took off songs and put on new songs and like features that I'm saving for after, and because because everyone started giving me pressure about the debut album, and I didn't feel it. But after the first interview, I was like, okay. And they're like, are you nervous about your debut album? And I was like, no. And the second interview would ask me the same question, and I was like, no. And then the fifth person would ask me, are you nervous? And I'm like, am I missing something? And by the eighth interview, I was like, am I supposed to be nervous? Like, I guess I'm nervous now. Fuck.
Right.
So then I started letting shit get to my head, and one of the things that I let get to my head was people saying, oh, it needs to be cohesive, 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 cohesive. So when we're getting ready for tour, right before we hit the road for Billy, we're literally getting ready for tour, and I go into rehearsals and I hear my band do some of the set list I'm a musical director suggesting, and I look at him and I'm like, I hate it. He was like, what? I was like, I hate it. I'm like, these are my songs, these are my kids. I know they're my kids, but they're not dressed up like my kids. Like, it's like, you know what I mean?
Yes,
like, they
yeah,
were just
yeah.
in different clothes. And I was like, the reason it feels like they have different clothes on is sequencing. The reason it feels like they have different clothes on is because there's songs that are missing in the sequencing. Like, things like that. Like, I had noticed things like that. And so then I had to, like, really sit by myself and be like, well, I know that everyone on the team and everyone on the label and everybody, every one of the partners is like, oh, well, in order to give the album the most chances of success, we need to give partners and Spotify's and Apple and everything the album months in advance so that people can, like, dive into it and just get ready. And I was like, if I let that dictate what I'm putting out is my first project, then I can't be completely proud of it. Like, if I can't die tomorrow and say that was authentically me, that was fully me, I'm going to feel like a fucking fraud.
Right.
I'm going to feel so empty. And if it does great and it wasn't completely my vision, I'm going to feel so empty too. I'm not going to be able to hold that W properly. So I was like, fuck that. I got to change it. I got to make sure that I love it. I got to make sure it's me. I got to make sure it's sporadic. Fuck cohesive. If I want to cuss and yell on one song and then I want to make love on the next, that's what I'm going to do.
Absolutely.
It needs to be this. So then I did that. And then the very last thing I added was a voice note on the end of Dope that says, put the drink down, put the drink down. And I added that, like, that was the very last thing I added.
So what do you think has kept you up the last 3 days? Like, where does that energy come from? It's not, I hope it's not you looking to see what people think of the album, because, like, at the end of the day, like you said, this is something, you know, you could live and die with. This is you. This is authentic. This is, you know, the organic music that has come from your soul. So regardless of what anyone would think, you know, critics or fans or anybody out in the world, you should be comfortable with your art, right? So I hope that's not what's keeping you up.
Yo, you should be, right? And you'd think so, right? But it fucking, like, it's, I've been really lucky to be able to retweet a bunch of shit of people saying, Jesse, I don't know how you did it, but I can't skip one. Or Jesse, I don't know how you did it, but this shit is making quarantine better. Or Jesse, I don't know how you did it, but this, like, I wish I could tell you that it didn't, I wish I could tell you, but I don't give a fuck if people love it or if people hate it. I don't give a fuck when I was putting it out, but now that people love it, I'm like, okay, lit.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I think that's a fair reaction too. Like, I think that it's okay to, you know, be surrounded by, like, people who agree with you.
Totally. Oh, but, like, yeah. Like,
I'm also a psychopath.
Yeah. No, but here's where the three of us can, like, relate. It's difficult sometimes to not, like, hinge everything on one, like, stupid YouTube comment, you know?
Yeah.
Like, someone could just be like, whatever, say the foulest shit, and it's just like, that ruins your day, and it's like, it's hard to tell yourself, you know, to sort of, like, measure that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is hard. But I gotta be careful. Because you're kind of just reminding me that, like, I gotta make sure I stay even keel. Because I'm sure everything I make in my life isn't gonna be well embraced. Like, I'm sure I'm due. Like, it's just impossible for your entire catalog to be perfect or your entire catalog to be that. And literally, as I was retweeting shit, and as I was like, because part of that too is also like more promo for the album and just getting it out more.
Yeah, for sure.
All this stuff. But I had this like exact thought. I was like, yo, it must suck to work years on a project and have people shit on it.
Yeah.
Like, that must suck. I can't, that must fucking suck to have someone call your kid ugly to your face. Mm. Like, dude, I can't. And so, like, the next thought after that was like, ooh, I can't let myself get too high or get too comfortable off people resonating with it. Because God forbid the day that it doesn't, that can't be the sword by which I live or die. Yeah. I have to live or die by my own.
Yeah, like, you can't be like that 40-year-old who's like, I used to be able to throw the football over the mountain, you know?
Right.
Yeah, man. I can't. I gotta be able to just take the reality and also, like, accept my worth regardless of what other people might think.
For sure.
But anyways, it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing. And it's a weird thing that I can't even stay away from, because even if on the 27th at like 2 p.m. I made the decision to not engage anymore, mm-hmm. I guess, not mm-hmm. engage in people's responses, by default of the way shit is set up right now because of this quarantine and because of social distancing, I'm required, my life as an artist for the following whoever the fuck knows how long is going to be online. Yeah. It's going to be yeah. on interactions. It's going to be like melting into everything that is the internet.
Absolutely.
Concerts on the end, like everything. So I don't know. It's going to be crazy. We'll see how it goes.
Well, I mean, like, it's a weird time. And so, I mean, like, it sort of feels like we're all in jail. And so I ask a question that we always ask to people who have been in jail in very, you know, different circumstances. But, like, who's somebody that reached out to you during all this that you didn't expect to? That has, like, checked up on you and been like, hey, are you good?
Wheezy.
Really?
Yeah. Wheezy was like, hey, just making sure you're good. You and your family are safe. I was like,
that's very thanks. Sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I was like, same, dude. That's cool. That guy's so chill. So cool. And it was literally just that. Just making sure you're good. Making sure your family's good.
Have you gotten
King Louis.
Wait, was it over text?
Yeah.
That's really nice. That's awesome. Yeah. Have you gotten a text from people you would rather not hear from?
Ooh. Yeah, let's get messy.
Let's get messy on a Sunday. Let's do God's work. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. See, but this is the sort of like weird intersection of things where it's not only quarantine where you're stuck inside and everyone's trying for that human connection, but also you have an album that you're putting out. So like there's two really entryways for someone to like, you know, walk their way up to your door and knock. Yeah. You know?
Has anybody done the problematic like future sort of like texts where it's just like, yo, like, you know, I hope you're good, even though like. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
I really haven't talked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're kind of screwed too because you, like you said, they have two entry points. It's quarantine and it's the album.
Yeah.
And like by nature of me literally just being stuck in the house and having nothing the fuck else to do, my window exit is absolutely closed. Yeah, I'm like on the 17th floor in a fire because I don't even have an excuse. I can't even be like, oh, sorry, I was working, or sorry, I'm like, sorry, I've been in bed all day watching Netflix. I didn't have enough time to answer your fucking message.
Well, you also have like a lot of people who probably are texting you, so you could just like not respond because you are popping right now.
That's funny. No, I try to answer. I've been a lot more active. I'm sure, like, that's funny. Somebody mentioned it on Twitter the other day, too. Some fan was like, holy shit, you've been really active lately. I was going to be like, well, it's a new spectrum.
Jesse, is there anything that you have way too much of in your apartment right now and anything that you really, really need right now?
I ran out of chocolate turtles and I'm addicted. Jeez, they're so delicious. Fuck. Yo, turtles are life. Turtles are the best. Oh my God. So good. I can't. I'm cheese. I literally just ran out yesterday and I was like, fuck.
By the way, we have cheese.
No, not yet. Jesse, congratulations on the release of your album. Before Love Came to Kill Us, it's streaming everywhere. Go check that out. Jesse, we love you. We love you so much.
Love you too, man.
Take care of yourself.
Much.
We'll be checking
in.
Be safe. Stay inside. And hopefully we'll talk to you soon, all right?
All Thanks, dude. Wash your hands, guys. Be safe. Bye. Right,
take care. Jeff, let's get on the phone with our friend, the head of Dreamville, Ibrahim Hamad. Let's call him right now. Yeah.
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 Yo.
What's happening?
What's popping?
Everything's good over here. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Just quarantining this shit, you know? just chilling back. You know, nothing over here. I think it's been the same thing for the whole last week. I don't even know what day it is.
Yeah, when I asked you to like come on this, you were like, "Let me check my schedule." Oh no, I'm good.
Yeah, I had to make sure the quarantine wasn't taking up too much of my schedule.
Well, actually, Eve, you're a relatively new father. How has that all been in terms of like everyone being inside all the time?
Oh man, it's been incredible. Actually, that's been the best part, and especially for my son, like he's having the time of his life. Like, he's seeing me every day. His mom's there every day. He's making me read him 100 books. It's usually the same 3 books. You know what I mean? Like he's playing ball on his little hoop. Like he's having the time of his life. So that's the good part. You know what I mean? I don't think it's been a while since we had a stretch of everybody just being home the whole time. You know what I mean? Even if I'm in the city, if I'm in LA, I'm still moving around working. So it's like for us, all 3 of us to just be home the whole time, that's been pretty special. Yeah, it's been incredible.
So
you know, he don't know what's going on. He's just like, all right.
We know that Dreamville Fest this year was going to be a phenomenal thing, and the dates were set. Everyone was really looking forward to it. Things, you know, happen in the world, and it had to be postponed just like everything. How did word get to you that maybe this was going to be something that
didn't happen?
Yeah, it was not going to happen.
You know, it's funny. It's MK, who works with us at Dreamville, she first texts me and Adam like a little while back, like, you know, like, hey, we should really be thinking about everything going on with the coronavirus. When I say a little while back, not like in January, but, you know, it was like a couple of weeks before shit really started like hitting the fan.
Yeah.
And she was like, and in my mind, I was kind of like, I almost like, not dismissed it. I heard her and I was like, "Nah, we'll be good. Like, it ain't that serious." And then like the closer it started getting to like March, like towards like sometime in February, or like, you know, late February, we started being like, "Okay, what's going on?" And then I think it was when I heard rumors that South by Southwest might cancel.
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh fuck!" I'm like, "Cause you know that could it's all, you know, it's the same way like when the NBA canceled, everybody else started canceling because once you see something, everybody else is going to react. So it's funny because people were on us crazy, like, yo, announce the lineup. And we was waiting to announce the lineup, but then right when we was about to announce the lineup, we was like, okay, well, we keep it this day. So then I was on the phone with Sasha almost every day about it, and he's keeping me, because first when I brought up to Sasha, I'm like, yo, should we be worrying about this, you know, the coronavirus postpone everything? I could tell he didn't want me to bring it up because he was kind of like, ah, man, yeah, this is a lot serious than I thought. But he had never brought it up, so I just kind of, like, was waiting. And then we got lucky in the sense that before we announced anything, and it took us a while to like, let anybody know what's going on because we was trying to find a new date. And we found a date, and pretty much everybody we had that was going to be on the original date was available.
That's great.
And, you know, so that was the good part. Obviously, the date is August 29th, but, you know, as of right now, we think – and we feel like everything's going to be all right. You know, you never know with these situations as far as like when this, you know, when the quarantine or when this whole coronavirus thing is going to die down. But, you know, our fans are, I haven't seen any returns on tickets. Like everybody's just been riding for us. And that's the beauty of it. But, you know, of course, my first thought when I heard that was like, again, because yeah. the first Dreamville Fest obviously got postponed because of Hurricane Florence.
Yeah, yeah.
And those things, man, they take a lot out of you. You know what I mean? Like you know, we worked months and months to like get the lineup right and see who's available. And you know, Sasha and his team, they working for months on like just permits and just things that people are not thinking about when it comes to festivals. And Adam's doing a lot of the creative work and adding certain things to just enhance what we did last year. And then it's like, that happens, and you know, it kind of takes a lot out of you. But of course, we don't want to put nobody in no danger.
Of course,
so it's like,
not.
That's an
no.
easy call. So
Eve,
it's like,
can you talk about the feeling that you had after last year, because last year's was the first one, and it was such a monumental thing. Right when that whole thing ended, when you had a moment to yourself, what was that feeling like?
The you mean like after it got postponed or the first
no after one after you guys had the successful you know concerts? Oh, man, and
it was incredible. Like it was really one of the like one of the best feelings I've had. You know, just doing this in general for the last 10 years, because you think of like an idea that took, it took us like 3 years probably to get that off the ground, because in North Carolina, you know, you got to convince the state, you got to convince the city, you got to talk to the mayor. We had to do all of that and just make sure, you know, they don't know no better. So they like, all right, a couple guys, a rapper and his team want to put a festival. Like, is this going to be dangerous? Like, so we got to go through all of that. So 3 years of putting that together and then getting it postponed to September and being scared that, like, are people still going to show up? And then for them to show up even more, and, you know, 40,000 people, and it was no issues as far as, like, safety or anything. It was some good feedback we got from fans on things that we were working on for this year. But I remember we seen, like, a survey of, like, people that said, like, you know, who's going to be coming back, and it was, like, 98%. I really wanted to know who that 2% was. Like, what we do wrong? But that's, like, a super high rate for festivals, especially also for me. Like, I think the festival said it was, like, 67%, like, African-American, and usually, like, African-Americans don't come out as much to festivals. Like, you know, right. They don't. And so that meant a lot to us. And obviously, just everyone that performed and all of our artists being able to perform, and they just going crazy. And then Cole, and, you know, bringing out 21 and Meek, and, you know, that was just, it was just a special moment. And to do it in North Carolina where he's from, you know, that, I think that felt really special. You know, it also felt like to never give up on ideas, because it would have been easy in those 3 years to be like, man, fuck this shit. You know what I mean?
But oh, for sure.
We stuck through it, so that was dope.
So we've hung out recently. We saw Jid and Boss down in Miami. We were with we talked to Ari all the time. We were with her down in Atlanta. You know what you guys have built has been incredible, just from a talent perspective. But to bring everyone together and do what you guys did with the Revenge 3 sessions was like hard to, you know, wrap your head around. You know, you see the golden tickets, you see the excitement of everyone going down there. You don't know what the music's looking like. All you hear is you out there being like, yo, I have a million songs and my one job is to whittle them down to like a reasonable amount. And then it's Grammy nominated, which is like,
yeah,
outstanding, right? Dope. Can you talk about just the experience of putting that together with your team, figuring out how to make a moment, and then living up to the hype?
Yeah, it was, you know, everything felt so last minute. Like, because what happened is the way we did Revenge of the Dreamers 2 was, I would, you know, I was hitting up Cole. I'm like, yo, you got this verse here on Folgers Crystals. You know, let me get that. Boss, these two songs are going to be on your next project. Let's kind of like debut them on here and, you know, use that Cole platform to introduce you to people, Ari, Lou, like we had just met them. So I'm just grabbing songs. So now we add Irv Gang and we add Jid to the roster, and also Ari and Lou are like officially on the roster.
Yeah.
So now it's like we felt like I started that process of doing that again, but it didn't feel right. And I know like everybody, it wasn't just like me or Cole, everybody's like, man, we just gotta all get in. Like, but initially it was just like, yo, we gotta get in as in like just the team and like our producers. And then like right before, Cole was like, yo, we should invite people we just really fuck with. They don't gotta be like big artists. Let's just invite people we're fans of to add to what we have. And you know, we was thinking of like, you know, you've seen the people like the Buddies and Reason, people like that. And then like I remember Cole was already on the Guap.
Yeah.
And like that, like the week before we were in LA, we was at Nice Guy and Guap was in there, and he came up to Cole and introduced himself, and Cole's like, oh, yo, I fuck with your shit. Like, we started talking, and then Cole's like, yo, let's remember to invite him too, because I fuck with the shit. I'm like, yeah, for sure.
Wow.
And I had met Guap through like a drunk night when he was out with Jid and Ari and Boz and Buddy. And
by the way, that tracks. That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So then we just started inviting a couple people, and then like a couple of days before, me and Cole was like talking, he's like, yo, we should make invites. So like everything was happening like right before We had like MK and Derek and Maddie and Felt and everybody like running around making invites, booking the studio, like booking flights. And then we just started sending them out. And like we were supposed to send them out like the week before. I don't think we started posting them till like the day people started showing up. And I think that started taking the life of its own, because once we did that, everybody else that wasn't there was like, yo, I'm trying to pull up. We were like, let's do it. And we was like, and Felton was right there with his computer. I'm like, yo, make another invite for him. Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, Felton made like 150 invites.
Felton's
I
king.
I have people that was in LA that was like, yo, let me just get an invite. I ain't going to make it, but I just want an invite. Like, yeah. Like, it was like that. Like, you know what I mean? So, so then it was the thought of like, all right, how is this even going to work? Because for the first couple days, people were overwhelmed. Like, they couldn't find their spots. They didn't know, you know, what room they should be in.
Yeah.
Like, people were, there was, you know, you got certain people that's just going out for blood. They're going to rap on everything. They're going to go in every room, plug up, play their beats. And if you don't have that personality, it's easy to get lost in that.
Yeah.
And I think people started catching their vibes. The first, like, 5-6 days, like, I felt like a trap god. Like, it was just all trap beats. I thought I was slinging out there. Like, it was crazy. But we got what we needed out of that. And then the second half, I felt like when Smino and Buddy and Guap and all those people started showing up, the energy changed a bit. And you know, it's almost like we had two sessions in one. And then it was just, what the fuck do we do with all of this? You know what I mean? So being able to get the help of different people, of like, the different artists that were super involved, like Jim would hit me like every other day, like, yo, what you looking like? Or Boss would be like, yo, what you need from me? Or, you know what I mean? Like, or obviously Cole, and everybody was just hitting like Olu all the time, hitting me up, like just keeping up, like trying to make sure we're all on the same page. And then, you know, other artists coming in and out and just lending an ear, and for it to come out and, you know, did what it did, number one album and all of that.
Huge.
That was incredible. You know, that was the part, because I feel like the album was really, really good.
Yeah.
And people felt it. So that was the win for me. The Grammys, I mean, I remember when I found out, it was really like Joey called Cole like the day before, and he was like, yo, I just want to let you know, like, and me and Cole was together. I think we was in like Turks and Caicos, some shit, like we was on, like, just on vacation or some shit. And then he was like, yeah, I just want to let you know, like, yo, Middle Child and Revenge and blah 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 is nominated. And Cole was like, a word. He like, word. Well, shit, I'm gonna pass the phone to Eve, you'll probably care. It's like, I'm like, I guess. And then, you know, it's like, but to me, what I cared about, it wasn't for him, because I feel like he's so disconnected from the Grammys. He doesn't care. Like, right, he's in a sense that he's just like, he understands what the game is. I was excited for everyone else.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's like, that was a moment for them. And you know, it was even a point where I wasn't going to go. And they was looking at me like, bro, you need to be in our moment. Like, you need to be there with us. Like, this, you can't. And that was more important, is not to, like, sour their moment. And they had, you know, they had a ball, and they left there like, all right, cool, we see what it is. And they got to dress up and have fun. And it also motivates you now. You go back and, like, as an artist, you probably like, okay, now I want that for myself. You know what I mean? Like, fuck having it as Dreamville. What is that going to look like for me by myself? You know what I mean? So the Grammys was dope, because I think that legitimized them more than anything. You know what I mean? And I think they wanted that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like we could talk about Revenge of the Dreamers 3, like, forever, because I have such a fascination with that entire process. But I want to know, what is the plan moving forward? Like, is there a plan to do something that's similar, or is it just like you have to sort of break out of that box because you can't replicate it?
Yeah, I mean, we've had those conversations so much. Like, I wouldn't want to personally, and you know, it ain't all my decision. It's like a group decision at the end of the day. But personally, I wouldn't want to do those sessions again. Like, you can't recreate that magic. You can't recreate how organic that felt. You know what I mean? Like, I would do those sessions without putting out invites and just invite people we really fuck with and just for the creative process. But we wouldn't do it like that, because you can't recreate that. Same as, like, people always be like, well, shit, Revenge of the Dreamers 4. And I'm always like, man, it's never been a good number 4. Like, you know what I mean? Other than, like, Rocky 4. Rocky 4 was fine.
Right.
But, like, you know, you got to stop after three sometimes, but I'm sure we'll do other things that are Dreamville related as a whole crew, like, because I think that just gets the best out of everybody, and I think our artists are so different that they mesh well together.
Wait, but, could you do like a Rock and Jock with Dreamville?
Wow.
Like, that would be incredible.
Yeah, I mean, we have like endless opportunity. Rock and Jock will be fired up.
Yeah.
we gotta set that up.
With the uniforms and everything, yeah.
Yeah, you could have like a 4,000 point shot from, you know. Like, this is all
good
stuff.
We gotta do Rock and Jock versus someone else, though, like. No, like maybe like TDE or something. Like, that would be fire, right?
That'd be really fire.
I think you could take him.
Wait, Ebe, everybody knows that you're a humongous NBA fan, and to watch, you know, the NBA cancel the games and all that, and to live in this world right now where the only basketball you can watch is on YouTube or NBA TV or whatever, how are you getting your fix?
Are you playing NBA Jam?
I'm actually playing NBA 2K a lot, which I never did, because we got a league now. Me, Boss, you know, Sad, you know, my boy Ted and Antoine from back home, Proof, like, we all got to leave. My man Rob Gibbs.
Wait, who's the best in the league and who's the worst?
Who's the best? Man, I mean, I ain't going to give nobody no credit. You know what I mean? I ain't going to call nobody the best. I think Boss is up there. Shed is up there. I don't know who's the worst. I might be the worst. I'm like 4-7 in the league right now, because I don't play that shit. Like,
who
are
you
playing
with? What's your team?
Well, we all drafted. Teams.
Got it.
We draft from scratch.
Got it.
But I'm playing that. But it's tough, man, because I didn't realize how much basketball I watch, because I have league pass.
Yeah.
I watch so much basketball that when I'm turning the TV on, my son, the first words he'll say, ball, ball. he just sits there and watches basketball with me. So every time he sees my phone or like the TV, he thinks I'm about to go watch basketball. So I'll be putting on old games for him to watch, because he loves watching basketball. He's year and a half, you know, he just loved watching basketball. So it's like, for me, I still watch old games just to like kill time and shit. And then I watch NBA TV because they got classic games, but it's tough. Like, I feel like if we was in a quarantine and we had basketball, we'll be all right. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? We'll be good.
Well, what did you think when there was that idea that actual NBA games would be played with no fans?
I thought that shit was weird. Like,
right?
I don't know. You know, like, just, of course, I've never played basketball at an NBA level or anything that high, but just playing basketball, you know that, like, the fans give you a certain energy, and they, like, you know, they have a lot to do with the game, you know, so I thought it would be weird. I watched a couple, you know, I'm a big soccer fan, so I watched a couple of soccer games in Italy that had no fans in the stadium, and I thought that was weird. I was like,
yeah,
this shit is quiet. Like, you know, it looked like a practice. But I also understood that it's a business, and you got to do what you got to do to, you know, to keep the train moving. But
when you look back at this NBA season, what's the thing that you're going to miss the end of the most? Like, are you going to miss LeBron finishing strong going into the playoffs?
That's really what it is.
Yeah.
Cause, like, I became a bigger LeBron fan when he went back to Cleveland, and then it became like a thing, like he even though he's the greatest player in the world, he always felt like an underdog to, like, the, you know, to the Warriors. And then it was like, oh, he's 3-8 in the finals, or 3-9, whatever it is, even though it's not his fault.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so I kind of wanted him to get another one this year. I really did. I thought, like, it would be cool to see LeBron at age 35 in the 17th season be as good as he is, win another one. You know, AD, that's my guy, so I would love to see him win one. But I feel like the stoppage hurts, you know, a team like that the most, so I kind of felt like, damn, I wanted to see it. And it was hitting his stride. It was being the Bucks, being the Clippers, so I wanted to see that. But so that's probably, you know, that was probably the thing that I wanted to see the most that got taken away.
Yeah.
I mean, I follow the Knicks here and there, but I'm good with that.
I think they're undefeated in quarantine.
for sure. They're the best quarantine team right now.
Ebe, you're out there in L.A. What's the city like right now? I mean, is it just eerily quiet? Have you been, like, driving around at all? Like, what is it like just to see, you know, those streets?
I haven't left the house in 5 days, so
yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
But on Monday, I went to the supermarket. I went to 4 supermarkets because I had a couple things I wanted to get, and things were sold out all over. But it's, yeah, like, I think last week I went and it was still people like outside on the courts running full courts.
No, that's nuts. What are y'all doing? That's crazy.
I'm like, what are y'all doing? But like when I went Monday, it really got a lot more quiet. Like, of course, there's still people driving around, getting to supermarkets and getting to wherever they got to go. But it wasn't as many people outside. You know, a few people walking, but that's good. Like, people need to get out and walk. But yeah, but I also live in a valley, so it's like I'm not in the middle of Hollywood.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that is over there. I haven't been there, but in the valley, it's chill. Like people's starting to get the point. Like, let's just stay our ass inside.
For real. How are your brothers doing? How are your folks doing?
My folks are good. My parents, they in New York, so we had to convince my pops, like, yo, you need to just stay inside.
Yo.
Like, he was like trying to go to work. Like, he was like, I'm gonna go crazy just being inside. He was like trying to go get his breakfast and stuff. But you know, he's older, so he listens though. So he's in the crib. Him and my mom, you know, Boss and my brother Proof, they down the block. So like, you know, I play them on Xbox. They chilling. my other brother Moma's in. He's in South Africa. Like,
really?
As soon as this was about to happen, he was like, "Nah, I'm out." He's like, he just went to South Africa.
Really?
And he got there. Yeah, he got there like right before South Africa closed the borders. And he's chilling out there. He's just like, I'm gonna just chill here. Like, but he also loves the culture and everything out there.
Yeah.
He was in Brazil for like 3 months before that or something. So he moves around a lot. My sister's in New York, in Brooklyn, just quarantining. So the family good. Like, everybody, thankfully, right now is good. And, you know, just hoping for the best and hoping to see this thing kind of like slowly die down. It's gonna be interesting to see, though, even when they tell you it's up, like, people are so scared. You know what I mean? Like, are people going to want to be around other people? Are people going to want to, you know, go to shows or go to parties? Of course, there's going to be some people. The minute the club is open,
this
shit about to be rent. But there's some people that's still going to be scared. And it's like, we don't know how they're going to recover. We don't know how the music industry is going to recover.
Yeah.
Granted,
live shows, all that. Yeah,
we're in an industry where, like, you know, it's a little better than other industries right now, but you know, we might not recover for a couple years for live shows. I know some of our artists, like Irv Gang, lost a lot of money. You know what I mean? Like, they might have lost, you know, I don't want to put their number out there.
Yeah.
But they lost a lot of money just from colleges and festivals that they could have made. Ari was going to make a ton of money off these festivals, and so was Jid and Boss. And, like, you know, people lose a lot of money in these times. So we don't know what the repercussions of that is going to be and what people are going to do. When it's time to get back out, are they going to want to go to shows? Like, everybody's tours getting pushed back. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of albums being pushed back. So,
are you thinking of, like, ways to make money in, like, more internet-y ways where it's, like, you don't need to, you know, be around people, like, but you can still touch the fans? Like, are they going to do more, like, obviously Ari's on Instagram Live. Like, are there ways for your artists to make money off of that?
For sure. Well, you know, I never think of it as how to make money, in a sense, is how to just reach people and like connect with people. And if, you know, money comes from that, great. Usually it does once you do it the right way. So of course we're always thinking about like, how do you reach people? How do you connect with people in these times? Cause you know, our label, you know, is damn near built on touring. Like, we have touring artists that are constantly on the road. So
look at Doll in a Dream, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, certain things that we can't do, but we're always thinking about that. Ari does it naturally. Like, I go on her live and I just sit there for an hour and laugh, and you know, she gets like 5,000 people in there. But you know, we as a label and as a brand, as Dreamville, we're always having these meetings and figuring out like, okay, how can we continue to reach people? How can we entertain people? Like, IG Live is the new TV out here. You know what I mean? Like, I was tuned into all the battles, so it's like, I know what it is. Like, I'm watching the Sean Garrett and the Hit Boy.
Yo, that was nuts. Yo.
Yo, that was the most entertaining shit.
Yo, the commentary from T.I., from Fat Joe.
Oh my God, Lala was in there.
Yo,
like,
yo, I loved Terrence J was killing Lenny S. He was like, yo, this is what you made me stop binging Ozark for.
Yo, the first of all, Sean Garrett was late 15 minutes.
Yo.
That was hilarious. And then he came in with a 15-minute speech, which was even funnier. But I think that a lot of people thought he was just going to get blown out the water. And I kind of feel like it could have went either way. Like, Sean Garrett was playing some hits. Like, I ain't going to front.
Yeah, I saw. We didn't watch the whole thing, but I saw that the that he caught up at the end.
Yeah. So he played it differently than the Dream was. Yeah, obviously the Dream was coming heavy early.
He came crazy at the end. I feel like Hit-Boy kind of did the same thing where he came way harder at the end than he did in the beginning. And it's kind of like, that's a good strategy because people remember the end a lot. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They might not remember what's happening in the beginning. But both those things are great for the culture in general because you forget how many songs or how many hits The Dream or Sean Garrett wrote. Or you forget how many hits the Hit-Boy and Boy Wonder produced. Let alone Swiss and Timbaland, obviously, but
yeah.
I think it's a good reminder for them. You know what I mean? For their brand, for us as fans to know, like, you know, you gotta get these people, their flowers, like, while they can smell them. You know, yeah. So it's important when things like that happen. So I've been tuning into that, and hopefully we can add to that somehow. We'll figure it out.
That'd be dope. Well, listen, Ebe, we love you. Love to you and yours out there.
Stay
safe. Stay creative. Have a little bit of fun while you can indoors. And
hit that fifth grocery store. Yeah, exactly. You can, you know?
Yeah, I'm about to go there now. But no, I appreciate y'all. I appreciate this because honestly, like, people need this. People need to see how other people are doing. Like, people I don't even know. I get to like find out how they doing through y'all. So I told y'all, like, the lady, her name is Marcia, right?
Marcia St. Hubert, yeah.
Marcia. I always say it wrong. But like, I loved hearing her interview because like, she's coming from a perspective of someone that's homeschooled, is someone that has, you know, a kid and still trying to work. So it's cool to be able to connect with other people, even if you don't know them, and know that they're going through the same stuff you're going through. And then, you know, get some good laughs out of this too. So absolutely. We appreciate y'all.
No, thank you so much. Be safe out there. We'll be checking in, all right?
All right, bro. Take care.
All right, take care. Jeff, let's get Carly Hustle on the phone.
Let's do it.
Hello.
Carly!
Hey!
Carly.
How's it going, guys?
In the middle of all this craziness, how are you doing?
You know, honestly, I am doing pretty well. I did have a couple of days towards the beginning of my quarantine where I lost it a little. Mm-hmm. But I think it's smoothed out. I feel like I'm getting a grip. I'm just trying to.
What do you attribute that to? Like you're you know, sort of like leveling out.
Yeah. Was there one moment that sort of like showed you that things were going to be like a little bit on the level?
Well, you know, I have a unique perspective and experience based on basically being on full quarantine last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went through cancer treatment last year, 6 rounds of chemo. I had 2 surgeries that were, you know, pretty significant. And so I spent a lot of time languishing on the couch and just feeling terrible and not being able to leave and wearing masks and not being able to be around people. And so I think the reason I really kind of lost it was just because I didn't want to have to like go through that again. You know, I was like, I already learned all these lessons last year. Like, why do I have to sit down again this year? Because everybody else now has to sit down.
Yeah.
So I think I was just like a bit angry about the circumstances. And then I don't know, I just kind of turned a corner and like just dug a little deeper into my spirit and was like, look, this is what it is. I can fight it tooth and nail and be mad and waste a bunch of energy, or I can just accept that this is what it is and try to just take it day by day. And like, I think as corny as that sounds, breaking it down into hours and days and minutes was really helpful during chemo. It's something that I learned during that time that I feel like I'm applying now. So TBH, like almost dying, has last year has really helped me this year in being able to just kind of cope with, the solitude, the isolation, and, you know, the restrictions.
Well, at the same time, you do have your fiance busy at home. You have your daughter Harp at home. When do you now get a moment to yourself?
Yeah, I mean, good point. Isolation with kids and a partner and stuff is definitely different. But I usually, you know, I'm kind of used to not being alone in that regard ever anymore, because yeah, I do have a kid and I live with a partner and we have another person that lives in our house as well. But I think my solitude time is usually like after she goes to sleep, I'll go take a bath and I'll just be in the bathtub by myself, and I'll either be scrolling, catching up on things, or I'll read a book, or I'll just sit there with my own thoughts. And I think just like being in the bathroom is always, you know, a good thing.
Always a good thing.
Every single time, it's a good thing.
Well, yeah, when you have kids, it's always a good thing. A good time because you might actually be able to be by yourself, especially if you lie and you tell your whole family that you have some kind of a stomach virus. Or
oh, good.
Something.
Oh, great.
Which, nobody, by the way, wants to be around that.
That is one of my favorite Instagram stories that you've ever done, where you slam the door on your child and fiance. Who were asking questions. What is the best lie that you've told your family?
Well, I mean, that one was pretty good. Like, historically, it's always good to bring up shellfish because everybody's like, oh, shellfish, I know that one. You know, so if you bring up that one, people immediately identify and they're like, let me just. Now, the problem is I don't eat shellfish and he knew that. So I have to think of a better one. But yeah, I think, you know, a stomach flu is great. It's kind of like when you're calling in sick to work, you know, and being like, oh, I have a cold. It's not going to cut it. If you tell them, you know, I have like explosive diarrhea, they're going to be like, stay home. So now the new one is, hey, I feel like I have coronavirus symptoms. And then, of course, nobody wants to fuck with you. But I'm not going to use that because it's not really funny right now. Maybe someday it'll be funny. Yeah. I've managed to make cancer funny and it's not
that
funny.
That is true.
So,
yeah.
So, you know, what is it? Is it time plus
20
time
years?
Plus,
because South Park said there was 20 years to make fun of AIDS, and
okay.
And so I go by with South Park rules.
There you go.
Yeah.
So it's like time plus tragedy equals comedy.
Well, that is absolutely true.
I think that simplified is just 20 years.
Yeah. Okay. We're just gonna go 20 years on that. Cool. So, and what is it? 2040, mm-hmm. We're gonna be able to just like LOLs big time on this.
Yeah, I have a whole calendar on the wall.
I love this perspective. Now I know when I'll be able to feel good. Carly,
two decades.
You're somebody who you know, has worked in the corporate environment. Jeff nor I have. We don't understand what Zoom business meetings can be like. Is there anything that you enjoy about them, or is it all just like terrible?
I mean, TBH, like, I've been doing this like a lot as it is prior to Corona, because my company is in multiple geos, multiple cities, multiple continents, like we're all over the place, so we're constantly on these video chat scenarios. So yeah, it's not really, I mean, it is a little more intense obviously than usual, and I think the major issue for people working at home who have to be on all these calls and just working at home in general is like you're tethered to that internet connection, and it seems like there's just less of a categorizing of when is time to work and when is time to be at home.
Yeah.
Like you're not physically leaving the office. And even though people oftentimes check their emails and do work, there's some sort of psychological understanding that when I step out of the office and I catch that train to go home, there's some separation between those two worlds.
Not to mention that weekends don't feel different than weekdays right now.
But also you have a child who doesn't subscribe to the 9-to-5, you know, schedule.
Right. And also, I'm lucky there as well, because not to get all weird and political, but like we opted out of the school system you know, we never put her in school. I mean, she's 4 and most kids her age are probably in preschool right now, but we're going to homeschool for the foreseeable future. So we already kind of had the infrastructure in place so that when the school system failed underneath the weight of this coronavirus scenario, and I mean, some could say it's already been failing for a lot of reasons, we already had that structure there, so like we get to continue to keep doing our work not in the office but at home, and we have somebody here that's looking after her and educating her and taking care of her. So like, you know, we've bit the bullet financially by not putting her in school, but when it came down to it, it was the right decision in light of especially like this current scenario, which would be a lot more stressful if we didn't have any help.
Right. Could you bring us in for like career day?
Yeah, sure. Want to do a virtual career day?
I think that'd be great. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna hook you up with our childcare provider, and we're gonna zoom you right into Harp, and I want you to tell her all about how to make what the it's best like, podcast in the world.
Yeah, what it's like to not make money.
Yeah, what it's like to work from home.
Yeah.
So, Carly,
always.
I know you guys also have a garden in your backyard. I know that you have been self-sufficient in many ways. Do you feel like this time more than ever, it's beneficial to sort of like look after your own and see what you can do on your own?
Hell yeah. Like, I mean, let's be clear. I'm sort of a doomsday prepper scarcity mindset far before this. I saw this all happening. It was something that I've been sort of, the clock's been ticking on this kind of a thing for a while in my brain.
Right.
I used to date this dude who was like, you know, what people would call a quote unquote conspiracy theorist.
Okay.
And so dating him and kind of observing him and having him share all of these, you know, written materials and videos and conversations with me. He was early on the urban gardening vibe, and he's like much farther along than I am now. And we have, are still friends now. Like we took, you know, like most exes, you kind of have to like step away for some years.
Sure.
But when I came down with cancer, we kind of got back.
Yeah.
Exactly. We kind of got back into touch and, you know, yeah, he put me on early. And so I kind of, and I've also just like been raised under this sort of, there's never going to be enough, capitalism is, you know, doomsday waiting to happen scenario. Mm-hmm. Cause I grew up in the Pacific Northwest and it's like mad hippies and like anarchists and shit over there. So
yeah.
I've been exposed to that. So, yeah, I think having the little garden, and I mean, we use the term backyard lightly. Cause I mean, this is New York City, but it's a small space which is, you know, we're very fortunate to have because
it's a cozy space.
Had that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very,
it steps away from the subway.
Exactly. Which is why we're fending off rats back there all the
time.
Oh my
God.
No, but that could be, not so much anymore.
That could be food when it really comes down to it.
You never know. We might have to eat. I mean,
or you can train them to be an army. Yeah.
I'm curious about your ex who is into conspiracy theories and then may have passed some of those along to you, or you might have been interested on a
certain
level.
Right, it's just like the coronavirus where you like spread it to one or two people.
Well, is there anything that you went into that relationship and you were like, well, that seems like way too crazy, and then you started to believe it?
Or did you always feed into it and you were like, yes?
I always fed into it because I also have a cousin who used to work for the U.S. government. And then all of a sudden he's like, hey, I'm moving to Mexico. Bye, guys. And I was under the impression that he was moving there because he had seen some things that he was like not cool with and was like, yeah, I'm about to get the fuck up out of here.
Wow.
So I've always been around people who have been different thinkers, you know, who have been skeptics, who don't necessarily blindly trust these institutions and these systems. That's not really why I started the garden. I mean, the garden kind of got me through the garden got me through chemo, and I've always wanted to grow my own food. But as I got more into it, I started to really see the value of what that was, and now it just feels like timing has, you know, is on my side. I have like probably 20 starter plants like in my front window with a grow light right now that I've been working on. I have snow peas. I have multiple tomato plants. I have basil coming up. I have Swiss chard. I have arugula. Like,
wow.
These are going to eventually, once it gets warm enough around the clock outside, particularly at night above 50 degrees, I'm going to transplant them after I harden them off for a few days in the sun here and there. And I'll put them in the backyard and then they'll start growing. And I'm creating my own little ecosystem back there, and it takes time to create an ecosystem that doesn't have like pests or other issues. And so, you know, it usually takes some years to do that, and I'm on my second year, and now I'm just trying to like encourage people to grow one thing. Like, if you can grow a tomato plant on your front stoop or your fire escape, or if you have a little yard area, or if you have a roof, you know, what can you plant, what can you grow? Because the systems are not sustainable. In particular, you'll start seeing that depending on how long this goes, there's going to be fewer people, migrants who can't travel, et cetera, that can't harvest our fresh, you know, produce.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm trying to like find ways to have that for my family and also be able to share with other people. And so I sent seeds from my tomato plant that I harvested from last year. I saved them all year and I sent a bunch around the country. So I now have a WhatsApp group chat with like 10 different people from around the country, and we're all growing stuff in our various urban city environments. And
wow.
It's, you know, it's pretty dope.
That's
like,
really
inspire.
Okay.
Yeah.
So going on this trend of growing one thing, while I've been in here, my only goal has been to grow a ponytail. And so I wanted to do a hashtag challenge to your fiance and see if he would join me in growing a ponytail as well.
Are we talking like a full-on ponytail, or can we just do like a rat tail? Like, what are we doing here?
I feel like I'm gonna go ponytail, like down the like the length of my back.
Like, so like all your hair is just gonna grow. You're saying
it's not a mullet.
It's not a mullet.
So you have to, you know, pull it back and then have like one tiny little hair tie.
Uh huh.
To bring it down. I don't think I'm gonna go like scrunchy. I think I'm gonna go like one wispy sort of ponytail.
I do find it interesting because Jeff is usually not about the internet challenges, you know, the push-up challenges, the shot challenges.
Yeah, if you tag me, I ignore it.
I can't imagine that Carly is either.
No, I'm not. You can't eat hair, though, is the thing. So I feel like if you're going to grow one thing, like if you want to do that, cool, but maybe also, you know.
Ponytail and tomatoes, right.
Some peppers or something. Yeah, you know, do a little herb garden and grow your ponytail.
Have you sent any seeds to Ebro?
I have not. He does not seem interested in my challenge. He actually doesn't listen to anything I say or listen to my podcast or do anything to support me aside from continually bringing me along with him everywhere he goes in the corporate environment. So basically, he just wants me to languish in corporate America, and that's it.
Well, have you ventured outside whatsoever, and if so, for what?
Yeah, I try to get outside every day.
Oh, good.
You're
for you.
Allowed to go outside.
Sometimes I forget. I really do.
You can go outside. You have to stay 6 feet away from people, but it's very good to get fresh air and get sun if, in fact, that exists. It seems like they're programming the weather machine to rain every single weekend on purpose, those fuckers. Because it would be nice to get outside on the weekends, but I think they know, whoever they are, they know that if it's nice out,
we need to talk to your cousin in Mexico.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, legit. Yeah, he's... I'm gonna call him actually and see if I can get some more deets. But we go outside. We support our local businesses. I think that's really important. Like, we went outside for a family walk yesterday, and we managed to stop at like 4 different businesses and spend money.
That's awesome.
And I think, you know, again, within the rules of social distancing, we've managed to stay supportive of whomever we can. Like, we both still have our jobs, which is fantastic because a lot of people don't. And so while we have them, I think we just want to continue to like spend with our folks and make sure that like we're spreading that money around, because like money is a form of energy and it shouldn't be stagnant. It should be moving. And if we can move it, let's continue to move it and circulate it so that people in our community can, you know, pay bills or, you know, get supplies or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
I feel like a huge responsibility with everything that I do at this point. And I think part of it is what I went through last year. And then part of it is just my innate nature. And then the other part of it is like, this is a really unique scenario. And what can we do to be of help and not be of hindrance?
And what about human connection for you? Like, is seeing someone from 6 feet, like you run into a friend when you're going on a walk yesterday, is that enough for you? Do you FaceTime people? Are you looking to stay in touch and like get something that shows that you're not necessarily alone?
Yeah, for sure. I think like that D-Ni's party last Saturday was exactly what, you know, the doctor ordered.
Yeah.
Granted, we were all in different places. There was still such a sense of togetherness. I've definitely been FaceTime with people. Last night, me and all my coworkers from our New York City office got on Zoom and we had a party. We have multiple DJs on staff. So we were DJing and passing the aux, and like just being around each other in that way, even virtually, is encouraging and uplifting. And it feels like we're in solidarity. And when we get back together, we're going to be such a tighter knit group of people. Mm. And I think what I'm trying to like consider is like, you know, 3 or 4 months from now, this will be something we're going to be continuing to recover from psychologically, you know, financially, whatever, health wise, for a very long time. There's a lot of loss and a lot of bad shit behind it, but yeah. Like if there's anything I've learned out of tragedy, it's like, man, can you emerge if you're able to survive with such a different level of strength and personal fortitude and perspective and context? And like, I think it's important, you know, to try to figure out what this is speaking to and how we can change ourselves and the world in order to make this not for nothing.
Unquestionably.
It's completely shit, but like, how can you shine that turd? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. And listen, Carly, we love you so much. We appreciate
you. I love you guys.
Love you. Love to Busy, love to Harp. Stay strong, stay healthy, and stay creative, because I think that's important too, to keep a fertile mind out here while we're all indoors. Brutally Honest is Carly's podcast. Go check that out. Sign up for her Patreon. Go support her. And Carly, we're going to be checking in on you. We love you, and take care.
Love you too. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye. Shout out to Jesse Reyes, shout out to Eve Hamad, and shout out to Carly Hustle. Jeff, we're back again tomorrow.
We are back every day forever.
As always, guys, now for real, for real.
Sure, sure.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.